Put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199WWC at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. It used to be $2.99. Now we're down to $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. The code, again, is 199WWC. The 199 stands for $1.99, and the WWC stands for Watch What Crappens. See how that makes sense? Use it and have fun.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hey everyone. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful and plucky and always rosy Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Ben.
Ronnie is at trashtalktv.com, and on Twitter and on Instagram and on Vine and whatever, he's just look up, do a search for Ronnie Karam or Trash Talk TV or Trash Tweet TV. It'll be one of those. Or just go to his website where he has really funny coverage of TV shows, including Big Brother, and there'll be links to all his social media from there. You can find me at B-Side Blog on all platforms. And more importantly, come like this podcast Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, because it's super fun and people post funny things and we have pictures and videos and we take silly screen grabs from the show, and it's just will make your life so much better in so many different ways that I almost can't even explain it. It's totally. like lives are changed, you know?
Yeah, you guys.
It takes a village.
It takes a village to understand just how much the show can change your life.
Yeah, and if iVillage were still around, I'd be telling you guys to join our iVillage, but we don't have that, so.
It takes an iVillage.
There's a truck going by outside. I, again, continue to be living in a construction zone. So, anyway, why don't we get right to our shows? We had a bunch of shows this week. Ronnie, where do you want to begin?
You know, I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. We can just talk about life.
Okay. Well, I'm tired.
I'm hungry.
I'm fat.
We sound like a 90s song. What was that song that's like,
I'm tired,
I'm hungry, and then everything's fine. Remember that song?
No.
That, by that girl. It was like, mother, you know?
Mother.
It was like, mother, stop writing to me. Everything's fine. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm poor. Everything's fine.
Dad, help me. Nah.
That's one person I would really like to see have a song. Ashley.
Couches on the patio.
Jets, the next county over.
Send a private plane for me. My friends are being mean to me.
Help, ma. Help, ma.
That is from Princesses Long Island for those confused little rascals out there.
Yes.
Watch What Crappens World.
Just because a show dies doesn't mean it's dead with us. It lives on for many years afterwards.
Yeah.
Just ask that Gaga Girls.
Gaga Girls.
So, okay. So, let's talk about... can we talk about Game of Crowns? Why don't we start with that? Because...
Okay. Well, no one's watching that show, so...
Yeah, you know, I looked at the ratings. It's only pulling in, like, 500,000, and it's ridiculous. Why aren't people watching this show? It is so, so, so funny.
You guys, that show is so funny. I'm horrified by it. I think those are some of the worst people on TV.
Yeah.
God, they're really awful women.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. I just don't understand.
Let me get to my notes.
All right, get to your notes.
Look at all these notes I took. Can you hear?
I can hear. They're ruffling.
I did take some notes this week. Let me see. Please tell me I took some Game of Crowns. Okay, here's what I wrote in my notes.
Okay.
Fashion show. Bella is a top high fashion New York model. Lynn Powell. Oh, that's an old
That's
one.
Last week, yeah.
Okay. Real Housewives of New Jersey. Can't afford a car. Well,
that's
that must be New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't.
This is like CSI.
Oh, I guess I didn't write any notes on Game of Crowns. Okay, I think I was probably just too enthralled to write.
Well, okay, so if I remember correctly, the show more or less, like, in the beginning, Lynn and Vanessa had a confrontation because...
Stop calling her Vanessa. Her name is Vanessa.
Sorry, Vanessa. Yeah. They had a confrontation, a chilly confrontation, because if I remember... Oh, so the issue now is that when Leha and Lynn met, and Leha asked, why are you making up these lies about me? Lynn's like, well, just so you know, the other girls called you a 40-footer and mannish and a transvestite. So then Lynn was really upset. I'm sorry, Vanessa was really upset at Lynn for saying these things. So they meet, like they're like two, like an FBI agent and an informant on a park bench by the water. It was like the worst. Like John
they can't
Clancy.
Get clearance to film John anywhere. Clancy. Everybody already knows they're horrible. They're like, can we just go to the Denny's? And they're like, no, Denny's is too classy for your conversation. Go to the beach.
Yeah. So they're at some random corner of Mystic, Connecticut. And they start having this fight, and, you know, Vanessa's like, Lynn, I just want to know, why is it that whenever there's an issue, you're always the first one to throw me under the bus? Basically stuff like that. And Lynn somehow starts to act like the victim, and I think that Vanessa was like, you always do this. You always act like the victim, Lynn. And Lynn says, I don't always do this, but you guys always come after me, and I'm the one who's really hurt in this situation, which cracked me up because...
Yeah, Lynn is a huge victim, and she's so wrong. Like, you know you're on TV saying all that stuff. Why don't you just admit to it and be done with it?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. The episode really started at the end of this, pageant brawl. Not really brawl, but it was a pageant situation where Vanessa was yelling at the gay stylists for giving that paisley jumpsuit to her and to Suzanne.
Oh, yeah. She's like, real pageant girls won't be coming back to you because you have betrayed the first rule of pageantry, and that is giving the same dress to two people. And then what's her stupid face? What's Suzanne. The dumb one's name?
Lynn's? Oh, Lori? Which one?
The one with the daughter. Stupid. The one with
Suzanne.
The daughter.
Suzanne, the one you do the good
person. Oh, Susanna. Yeah. She's like, I was in the accident. I told you it was an honest accident.
I'm like, it wasn't an accident. You called her and told her you were going to be wearing the exact same dress, you stupid. Yeah. Like, these women don't even know how to lie. That's what makes me crazy.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I mean, I don't think it was an incident worth yelling about or an incident worth even having drama about. But as a stylist, that guy did fuck up, like, for sure.
He did, but I mean, look, he's got to offload that hideous crap somewhere.
Yeah.
And the only people who are going to wear it are those morons. So who can blame him? You know, the guy's got a business. Those bitches don't know what it's like to work for a living. Yeah. I'm siding with the working queen.
Yeah, yeah. And, he, his budget, he's only going to, like, TJ. He's like a TJ Maxinista with those fashions.
Yeah, he totally is.
This is not like
I really had my bets down on the Mrs. Roper collection, and it didn't work out for me. And I'd really appreciate the support just getting this out of my warehouse.
He's like, I have a hold at Marshall's, so can we speed this along? anyway.
You know who we never talk about on the show, but who is, like, the most amazing one?
Who?
Is the younger one.
The blonde
who's
one?
Who's, like... Like, I don't know if she's lazy-eyed. I don't know if one of her lids is really heavy. Like, I don't know what. She looks like maybe she got punched. Like, maybe like one side of her face got run over.
Like a janky Lisa Kudrow or something like that.
Yes, she's like Lisa Kudrow on sleeping pills or something. But I really like her. I love her spunk and her attitude. And I love that she's always ready to kick someone's ass. And she's like, well, I don't care what they think about me. Those ladies, who cares? They're telling me I gotta be more jiggly? I ain't gonna be more jiggly. They're Botoxing themselves to try and look like me. Yeah, that's right. And she's like lifting weights and throwing weights across. I'm like, damn.
And she's got a cute husband, too.
Oh, yeah, her husband's hot.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of funny because I'm like, she really, there's no reason for her to be on this show. Maybe because they wanted a young one. But she just sort of stands there. I mean, she got into it a little bit because later on she got into it with Vanessa. But basically, the thrust of this episode was that Shelly, is that her name, Shelly, the Mrs. America, the one who's like sort of waspy? She invited everyone to her Newport, Rhode Island house for the weekend to sort of calm things down or whatever. And by the way, I have to say, one of our listeners who on Twitter goes by X the Crusher X, he I don't
know. It's just like the butchest name to be following us. Yeah. Like, if I looked under who the Crusher X is following, I would not expect it to be a Real Housewives show. But
yeah,
hey, you go. You break those stereotypes, X Crusher.
Yeah. X the Crusher X.
You're breaking that glass ceiling, boo.
He tweeted this regarding Shelly taking him to their her Newport home. He goes, it looks like these girls from Game of Crowns are spending the weekend at an assisted living facility. I mean, I think in the history of Bravo, weekends away, this was probably the cheapest one we've ever seen. It was maybe a townhouse. Just like a two-family home, basically. We're truly from furniture from my grandma, my dearly departed Grandma Sally's assisted living facility. You know, floral prints and... X to Crusher X, you really did crush that observation.
Yeah, that's a good call, X.
Yeah. And they were... So they go to Shelly's place. And they decide to go out onto, a sailboat. They went on to, looked like an old pirate ship or something in Newport Bay. And while they're all there trying to be friends, Leha gets a call from Nick saying that Lynn Diamante had hired a private investigator to look into to look into Nick's past. Which, on the one hand, I think is good, because someone has to look into Nick's murderous past, because he clearly has, killed, 10 people, probably, with his rage. But, on the other hand, it's also really fucked up, because realistically, she shouldn't have hired him.
I mean, is that against the law to hire a PI to follow somebody? No. I mean, shit, maybe I would do it.
I feel like it's against pageant law. It's same with jumpsuits. Maybe that's what she was trying to get to the bottom of. Maybe he's the one supplying these jumpsuits.
He's got some boxes falling off the back of a truck of terrible patterns.
Yeah.
He's infesting the city with them.
Lynn's hired a Paisley PI.
That Lynn is just one crazy bitch.
She's crazy.
I don't even know why she would do that. What does she think she's going to find? I mean, it's either going to be I don't even want to make fun of him, because I feel like he'll find us on Facebook and murder us in real life.
I know. Exactly. Which would, of course, prove our point.
Yeah, but who cares? They're like, before he died, Ronnie made a good point about somebody on a show that was canceled already.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Okay, well, he may not be murderous, but he definitely has a murderous rage. That's for sure.
Yeah, he would order somebody to kill us.
Yeah, or he would just arrest us. He would trump up charge. He'd plant it. I bet he would plant evidence and then send us to jail.
Oh, gosh. The empty boxes of terrible
patterns. Is this all libelous right now? Are we going to get sued? Sorry, Nick.
No, I'm trying to be nice.
I know. I'm the one being bad. Well, but I will say, though, I am going to defend Nick, though, because as crazy as he was that episode where he was screaming at the women, the one thing he did not do was he did not say to Lynn Diamante, hey, I'm going to kill you. And that's what this is all based off of.
Yes, and they never got to that. Of course. They never got to the Lynn. Lynn just avoids everything. She never mentioned, yes, that guy did say he was going to kill me. This week she wouldn't even say that. And what was the other thing? She wouldn't cop to anything this week. She's just but I have a tea party room.
Well, the thing is also that I think when Vanessa tried to approach this topic at Mystic by the water, Lynn suddenly stands up and goes, no, my lawyers are involved. And she runs off. It was, so random. I mean, this is honestly the funniest show ever. We're not doing it justice, or at least I'm not.
I didn't take any notes on it, because I just mostly sit there slack-jawed.
Well,
so her abusive husband called, her allegedly, possibly, maybe rage-addicted abusive husband called.
Addicted to
and
rage.
And he's like, yeah, someone, yeah, she's got a private dick, and get off that boat. And she's like, what, am I supposed to jump off the boat right now? And he's like, jump! Jump off the boat or I'll beat you. And she's like, I don't want to jump.
Yeah.
And they're like, why does she want to jump? And then nobody knows what's going on.
And the best part is that during all this, Lynn has decided to make the announcement. She's like, well, I just want everyone to know that Susanna and I, we applied to the delegation of Miss America United States, and we finally heard back. And I'm Mrs. Massachusetts United States, and Susanna is Mrs. Connecticut United States. And
what does that mean?
It's she basically wrote in for her title. But no one was responding, because Leah just got this phone call. And Lynn's like, I can't even believe that these girls can't be happy for me about winning this award.
But did you win it?
She wrote in for us so she could be a quote-unquote delegate.
So you didn't win anything. You just wrote a letter and they sent you something in the mail. Like, I got shit from eBay.
Process.
Let's have a party.
Stupid. It was honestly
amazing. What kind of contest do you just write in for that? And they're like, oh, you win. Hey, Ronnie, congratulations on that Emmy for a show you never wrote.
Right.
Thanks for writing us a letter to the Writers Guild. We accepted it.
Well, that's what makes this so funny is that Lynn is so self-important. I mean, they all are, but Lynn is probably the most self-important. Because then when they get back on dry land, they start talking about like her upcoming wedding vow renewals and how there's going to be a butterfly release. And she's like, yeah, the butterfly release is just, it's really important, you know, because it's just like, butterflies meant a lot to my dad, and they're so good for the environment, too, and they're really beautiful, so it's like, it really means a lot.
Yeah, but what was her thing about the butterfly release? There was something else, wasn't there?
She said that it was good for the environment, and that her dad liked butterflies.
For the environment? And also, I just happened to watch an episode of The Bridge, one of the most depressing shows on TV, by the way, for any of you who watch scripted things. It's so sad. But they found some dead kid and a butterfly in a butterfly shack. I'm like, oh, this is where they grew the butterflies. And then I watched Game of Thrones, and she's like, we're going to release the butterflies. And I'm like, kill her!
She said it's a very big deal to us. They're very symbolic to our lives, and they're great for the environment.
Whatever, bitch. You're like a little hairy-ass little caterpillar that got wrapped up and then got squashed before it could come out.
I hope you noticed,
no,
by the
butterfly.
Way. By the way, I hope you noticed that her nip was like blurred out in her interviews because it started to sneak out of her jacket. Did you see that?
God, those boobs are ridiculous. And she wears jackets that cover the nipples and then leave it open at the stomach again. Ooh,
it's the worst.
Yeah, it's like a beef jerky with marbles in the package.
It's beef jerky and marbles. So Vanessa and Lynn are trying to hash out their issues, and that's when Lorianne gets involved. Lorianne's like, let her talk! And Vanessa says, you be quiet. And then Lorianne's like, don't talk to me that way. And Vanessa's like, I just did. That's like her favorite line. You know, hey, you can't order a hamburger. I just did. You can't put on socks. I just did.
Vanessa fights with everything with that mom voice where she's like, here's how I feel about it. I don't like the way that you blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And her finger's like always like straight up, like she's making some kind of point.
I know.
Like, bitch, you are not making a point. You are still talking about a jumpsuit.
I wish Vanessa weren't from the pageant world, because when she's not being pageanty and she's just being like shady and like cracking jokes, she's like really funny. Like she cracks some like really mean jokes at the other women's sake, and it's like they're funny. But then she gets in her pageant thing, and then she gets like all high and mighty, and then she becomes just as awful as the rest of them.
Well, she's probably coming on this show, so maybe we'll just get her to be a bitch about everybody else on
Broadway.
We can send her a list of stuff she has to watch and just keep rolling.
I hope so. I really, really hope so.
That would be awesome.
So Shelly gave Vanessa and Lynn like tons of tequila, and they got drunk, and they actually made amends, which is, by the way, the first time that's ever happened on Bravo. Normally, you give them booze, and they start to fight. So that was nice. But then the big thing was that the next day, There's been this ongoing scheduling issue between Vanessa and Lynn, because Vanessa has a breast cancer walk on a certain day, and Lynn scheduled her wedding vow renewals on the same day. And Vanessa asked Shelley to be part of it, and then Lynn asked Shelley to read a poem at the wedding. So
Because she knows it means that she won't be able to do both things, and she'll have to choose friends.
Exactly, and then Lynn has been layering in this wedding vow thing with
okay,
all
Lynn,
sorts of...
and your stupid wedding vows. Okay, listen to what Lynn says. She says, well, you know, me and my husband never really got a good wedding. We just kind of had a shotgun wedding, and then every year we go back to Las Vegas for our anniversary and we have another wedding just to kind of joke about it. We go to the Elvis Chapel to get another wedding, and this year we're going to do it right and have a real wedding.
No. It's even worse than that. She goes, you know, like 3 weeks before my wedding, my father died. So basically, every wedding has been a funeral. And every year when we do the vows, I'm always trying to get away from it. Which, by the way, if you're trying to get away from it, don't have a wedding vow renewal every year. But this year, I feel like I'm going to really embrace it and let go of a lot of it. So it's really important that Shelly comes. It's like the most... And it's truly bullshit. Like, it's no disrespect to her dead father, but it's like she's
well,
using
he
her
did
dead
create
father.
Her. How much respect does yeah. he deserve?
By the way, Ronnie, how proud were you when she said that she wanted her vows to be a nod to her Lebanese heritage?
Oh, God. I was like, well, we're not immune. I actually said that aloud when I watched it. I was like, well, we're assholes, too. It's like no race is safe on Bravo, really.
Nope. So it turns out that Vanessa's walk is going to conflict with the wedding. Surprise, surprise. And so since Shelley had already said she'd be part of Vanessa's walk, she tells Lynn, she's like, listen, I'm really, really, really sorry, but unfortunately, I'm not able to read the poem. And then Lynn starts to freak out. She's like, but the butterflies, we've already ordered the, we've gotten the box, we've got the cages, the butterflies, your kids are going to be the wedding. We have to call, like, the mayor. We have to send notices out. Like, we have to change everything. We have to tell the butterfly wrangler.
The local dinner theater was going to do a number from the Music Man. It's going to have to change. It's all going to have to change.
I have to call the barber. He was making little wigs that look like your hair to put on all the butterflies.
Dillard's was donating us wooden hangers to take care of all the dresses we're renting, and now we can't have them.
Subway. I have to go to Subway because they were going to make a sub that was going to be called the Shelly. And when you ate it, butterflies would come out.
Our ice cream wedding cake from Baskin Robbins is going to have freezer burn now.
I have to return 10 Lean Cuisine boxes now because I had set them aside for a special meal for you and your family.
What a dumb hoe.
And then,
So whatever. So then they got in another fight, and it ended pretty much with Lynn just fake crying, right?
No, I think that, Lynn started fake crying, then her friends consoled her as if, like, her dad had died all over again just that afternoon.
You know, Lynn's probably that person when her dad died, like, took all the attention.
Yeah.
She was probably at the funeral, like, people were probably trying to give a speech. They'd be like, oh, Lou, yeah, Lou was great at cards. Every week, Lou would come and he'd win, and she'd be like, I love God!
And she's the type that will then hold on to that, being like, to this day, I can never walk by a card shop without thinking of my dad. And that goes for both greeting cards and playing cards. And the Cardinals. Baseball and other sports. Little League, if there's a Little League team called Cardinals, I can't watch it.
God, I wish they would stop printing voting certificates on cardstock, because every time I go to vote, I just start crying!
I can't even ask for directions because people always give me directions using cardinal directions.
At the end of a meal, I can't even check off whether I enjoyed the meal or not because the questionnaires are printed on cardstock.
I once had to cancel an entire trip because it was going to Cardiff and I couldn't go. I don't know. That was like, I can't think of any other card things. Cardoza, I think. Mr. Cardoza was a teacher of mine in high school, I think. Like, I can't go to Ben's high school because there's someone there named Mr. Cardoza.
That show is so stupid. All right, so are they going to let the rest of it air? How many? So we're halfway through. We just, they just had episode 5, and they've got 10 episodes, I know. But I don't know if they're even going to let the.
I think they
air.
Will. I'm really hoping. I'm actually, like, imploring people to tune in. If you're listening to this podcast and you are not watching Game of Crowns, watch it. And if you watch it and you think it's boring, I'm going to play this card, no offense, Lynn. I'm going to play this card and say, you're just not getting it. Give it another shot. Because
you're just not getting it. You are not bright enough for Game of Crowns.
You're not getting it. The point is this. Look at it as, like, a real-life Christopher Guest movie. It is just the way these people are so self-righteous about such a marginal thing in the world. And how catty they are, and the vicious rumors they make about each other. I mean, it's just every episode leaves me cracking up, and everyone I show the show to dies laughing.
So while we're talking about shows that we watch but no one else watches, let's talk about shows that everyone else watches that we don't watch.
Yeah.
This week on our page, people are going crazy and apparently really liking this Jersey Bell show. Did you watch it?
No, I was like, ugh, it's another one of these Bravo shows that follows a girl out, you know, whatever. But I saw that too. Everyone said, oh, it's really good. So maybe I'll tune in next week.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to because you guys like it. And we listen, all right? We listen. Yeah. Have you heard of Maya Angelou joke lately? No. All right, we listen. And so we'll watch that. And also, people are really loving The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first episode today, which, by the way, coincidentally, my favorite part was the preview for the season when one of them was like, you know what, yeah, you're a deck of cards. Yeah, deck of cards. You're going to crumble down because I'm doing an Irish accent. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it. Because my I meant to go Australian. I came out Irish. Deck of cards. You know what, yeah, I can't.
So I guess I'll watch that, but only on the condition that there are no more Housewives shows coming on right now. I mean, is it just going to be Orange County and Jersey, or is there a third? Because if there's a third, I can't.
But we have Below Deck coming up next week. I don't know if Jersey Bell is going to fit in. Honestly, I don't know. Unless maybe we'll start up like a. Well, you know,
maybe we could just do a one-off or something.
Yeah, you know what? If people want to, we're going to come up with a donation scheme. If people want to donate to us, we'll do a second episode with Jersey Bell and.
Because don't forget that last time we had Below Deck, we still had Matt on the podcast, and you guys would just talk about that. I didn't watch that show.
Yeah, we'll see what we have to, because there are too many shows for us to do really in one episode now. And
honestly, these Housewives shows are really just the same thing. Why didn't you come to my party? Oh, your party? Oh, I heard your party sucked. Oh, but my party, it was so fun. Who told you it sucked? Everyone said it sucked. No one said it sucked. My party was awesome. I had a turtle farmer. Oh, your party? Oh, your party? I'm going to have a party that show everybody how much your party sucked. No one's going to go to your party. No one's going to go to your party. Yeah. Bah!
Yeah,
I mean, every fucking show.
Exactly. And we have to watch. I mean, this is like hours that we have to watch. And it's like, you know, I know everyone else watches hours of it too. But, you know, it's like, it's really hard. I love this stuff, but it's hard. That's why I'm like, we need to set up a donation
situation.
Well,
it's getting harder lately because now they used to have two Housewives show on at a time and then other shows. But now it's like three Housewives shows at a time. It's been three at a time now for a long time, mm-hmm. right? Or is that in my head? And then now they've also got a wedding spinoff going at the same time as all the house. So it's like Housewives plus another Housewives spinoff. And I don't know. I need some cooking or something mixed in with all of this.
Well, Top Chef Duels is coming up, but that has no appeal to me, you know, because I think the whole like cooking duel genre is played out. Like we have Chopped, we have Iron Chef.
Yeah, too late, Magical Elves.
We have Kitchen Sabotage, whatever. You know
that show's so stupid.
It is stupid. We have all
like
that.
Who's going to cook with a fishing hook? Ugh! I do not want to eat that. And that's why the judges on those shows look so miserable. Like, they're eating monkey asshole and, like, mayonnaise. That's, like, gross.
Cooked
who wants to
like
eat that?
Like a tiki flame, yeah.
Yes. Like, your ingredients today are cat poop, discarded skin from a circumcised baby, and mustard.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I really love what you did with that circumcision skin. Mmm, delicious, crispy, salty. Oh, disgusting. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, I don't understand what the appeal of Top Chef Duels is. I don't know why we're expected to tune in, like why we're supposed to care. Oh, look, there's Tiffany from season one. She's back for the fifth time to cook against, like, you know, Marcel.
Marcel. Ooh, like, wow, it's Marcel. Wow.
Like, and then someone's going to taste it, and then someone's going to win, and we don't care. Yeah. You know, I like my cooking shows to be serialized or to be like Chopped. And
I'd like Bravo contestants to get jobs. How about that? How about everybody who goes on Top Chef leaves Top Chef, and instead of getting an agent, you get a fucking job. All right. Because I'm sick of seeing you on like SpaghettiO commercials or whatever the shit you guys are doing. Or when they're like, oh, look, it's me from season two to do some web thing on Bravo. No, I'm not watching your stupid web thing on Bravo. You made like a Cheeto pie in season two. I'm not watching you. Get a job.
Well, I'm not going to come down on the Bravo chefs from Top Chef, because as opposed to all the other Bravo reality stars, there are people who actually have skills and are doing something with their lives and who could also potentially feed me. So,
but those aren't generally the ones who are coming back. The ones who are coming back are like Marcel.
Yeah, but Marcel still works too. He works. He's like in kitchens. He's legit. Anyway, let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. Speaking of
agreeing to disagree.
Yeah. Speaking of legitimate business practices. So last week, we were taking Jim's side. This is Amber's husband, Jim.
How things change.
Yeah, because he said, like, he doesn't want to associate with Joe Giudice because he was in mortgages, and that's not someone he wants to, you know, associate with. Which, by the way, I still think is legit. But he made himself sound like he was Mr. Upstanding Citizen, but the truth is, he too has apparently been in all sorts of nefarious deals.
Okay, well, the good stuff about this, and thank you for everybody for posting this to our Facebook page, because that is how I know about all of this. It's all the articles
you guys
posted.
And that's why if you are not a fan of the Facebook page, you should be one, and you can be in the loop.
Yeah. Because I honestly hadn't heard all this. But okay, so he is a rat, first of all. He ratted out a company he was working for this huge scheme that they had pulled off. And he gets everybody arrested. And then they realize he was the one who made the whole scheme up in the first place. Huh. So when he felt like they were going to get caught on his own criminal plan, allegedly, he turned on everybody else and got them thrown in jail. So that's the kind of classy bitch this guy is. He's not only a criminal, he gets other people involved and then rats them out so he doesn't have to go to prison for his own crime.
True.
That's like, that's the lowest, that's pretty much the lowest of the low.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're all low because the thing is, this is, it's, it goes back to Survivor Season 1 about the rats and the snakes, you know? That's what we're dealing with. Okay, so Jim is a rat.
Oh my God, we're going to quote Sue. Please quote Sue.
Well, it's honestly one of the greatest speeches in the history
of mankind. You're a rat and you're a snake. And a snake and a rat are different because rats...
Like, what was her thing? I love
it. It was like, if I saw you on the side of the road asking for a drink of a glass of water for your dying breath, I wouldn't give it to you.
Oh,
you know, something nice.
Can Sue the truck driver just be on every Housewives show? That's what every show needs.
She should be. Well, so, but anyway, the point is this. So Jim is a rat. Yes, he's smarmy. He's a smarmy little rat. Okay, for sure. But then you got Joe, but especially Joe, who is like... a thug gorilla, like doofus, asshole, you know, who is now benefiting from, he's getting this edit of this, like, saintly edit when he's defrauded people. It's like, I'm so sick of these people who are like, how could Jim talk about Joe? Like, how could he kick a man when he's down? Like, no, he is not down because, the system worked against him. He is down because he tried to work the system and he put many, many, many other people down. Other people are down because of him. He is not down. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, look, there's Jersey code, right?
Right.
And, you know, you have to think about it from where they're coming from. Really, anybody on this show, and I'm not saying anybody in Jersey because I don't know. Everything I know from Jersey is, like, when I lived in New York, they had an IKEA there, so I went there for that.
Yeah.
There's an airport I went to. It smelled kind of funny.
And there's a Roy Rogers on the turnpike.
And that's pretty much all I know, except for this show. But according to this show, basically anybody could be going to prison at any given moment. Nobody's honest. Yeah. Nobody has a real fucking business. And
they all like to wear turtlenecks.
You know, part of living the dream is not getting caught. And so when you do get caught, you know, everybody gives you respect because it could have been them. You know,
yeah.
And I think that they're smart enough to say, at least it wasn't us this time. Let's all pretend to feel bad for Joe and take his family some lasagna. So when my husband goes to prison, maybe I'll get some chicken pot pie.
You know, Ronnie, you're a very smart man.
That's, you know, I'm saying
that is such that really is exactly what it is. But you know what? Guess what? I'm not in Jersey, so he has to play it by like Pansy, California, like morals. OK, and the Pansy, California morals say you're an asshole. You gamed the system. You defrauded people. You sold millions of dollars. And I'm not going to feel bad about you because you're going to jail and leaving your four doors alone.
Yeah, I'm actually excited that Joe might be going to jail because the prison system in America works really hard to add education into it.
Yeah.
And I really hope that Joe just like goes to an English class.
Yeah.
And like maybe reads To Kill a Mockingbird or some shit. I don't know. But like learns the language, guys.
I heard Truman Capote wrote that.
This is a chance to start over in America, all right? If your life sucks, go murder somebody and get an education in jail, guys. Okay?
Yeah.
You're welcome. The more you know.
Exactly. Maybe that's where Jim got his law degree. And you know who needs to go to jail? Needs to go to like kitty jail is Melania because she is so vile.
She's the best.
It's like the best slash vile. You know what I'm saying? Like best to watch like, vile slash as a child.
The sandwich, and she's like, shove it back up your cunt. That cold dark place I started life in, you dumb bitch. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, Melania. Whoa.
I know. It's like marinara sauce is the new black, but but you know. Actually, it's actually really not Melania's fault. It's Teresa. I mean, you see the way she talks, and Teresa's like, Melania, I can't hear you. You're so loud, Melania. You're so loud. I mean, if Melania spoke like that to my dad, oh, my goodness. You'd have a
very
well-paid
child. Yeah, but that's
that
whole family. Could you imagine when the cameras aren't there? I know. You know when the cameras are there, Teresa's like, look, I'm cooking the kids something. But when the cameras aren't there, she's like,
Melania, kids, Joe, what you doing, man?
You know they just yell. Everybody yells throughout that whole
house. Except for that one silent one, the one, the pretty one who's like, The pretty one who wears sports gear all the time.
Yeah, the pretty one who's like planning an escape to baseball camp the second she can get out of the house.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm saving my allowance, you motherfuckers. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
A league of my own.
So anyway, let's get into the meat of the episode, which is that, you know, Amber had said last week, had told Melissa that she'd heard that Teresa, I think it was Teresa, I can't keep them straight, one of the twins, had broken up a family, you know. And then, of course, Melissa goes, and as we said last week, Melissa goes and tells the twins that Amber says this. And Melissa, of course, this is classic Melissa playing Miss Innocent, being like, well, they're just going to hash it out. I thought they would just have a conversation. Fast forward to the first responser party that was being held at the twins' house, where everyone comes
first
dressed
of all,
as a first responder.
A first responder party, especially when you live in that area of the country, generally means 9/11, right? I mean, look, I know other fires
no, it
happen,
means snipers.
And there have been other things, but the only thing I think about when I hear a first responder is 9/11. That's all I can think about.
I'm with Rosie. I think snipers. I think, hey, you need me there. You need me there because you know what? Like, if the terrorist comes out, I'm there to punch him in the face. I'm like, you know, that's not what a sniper does. A sniper actually shoots from afar. But that's good, Rosie.
I wrote that, too. I wrote, Rosie doesn't know what a sniper is.
Like, yeah, I'm a first responder. I'll be on top of a building. And then if the terrorist is there, I'll be like, boo!
Yeah, that's not what snipers do.
No, you're going to, like, be swatting the air, and he'll be 500 feet away from you. And you'll realize that you had one eye closed, and your depth perception is all wrong.
Rosie will be like, hey, you got a sister? Because I like him with the face covered. Send her over.
So you know, the twins are all mad. They're all I'm gonna see if I can do the twin voice, because I was like doing it before, but now, you know, whenever the podcast comes on, my accents always come off all strange. They're like, I can't believe that Amber would say those things about me. She's not even sorry about it.
Oh my god, that twin. I had to rewind it 5 times. I don't know why suddenly I found her voice so funny, but
it's so funny because it's so, so Jersey-ish.
And I like that she's like, all right, here's the plan, all right? I'm going to go to that girl and I'm going to make her apologize for everything she said about me and in front of everyone. I want everyone to hear it.
Yeah. And then Amber walks in. She's like, hello. Hello. How are you? Good party. Good first responder party. She's like, and then the other one's like, I have things. I have too many things to say to you right now. I can't talk about it right now.
Well, I love that she doesn't even tell her. She's like,
oh, look at you. I don't have anything to say to you. Yeah, you have to say something to my sister. Maybe you should clear it up with my sister. Sister, look at that. Look at you, sister.
And then it's both of those voices. Just
yeah, like, you have to say you're sorry. And then Amber's like, you two, let's go.
And then they immediately start hair pulling and punching. Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
And then meanwhile, Melissa's like, I thought it'd just be a conversation.
But those women, like, that's what I said at the beginning of the season. All these new women are like Jerry Springer women who, like, they're bad girls. You know, on the Bad Girls Club, they're like, get some poor ass ghetto bitches on here. And basically, if they want to stay the show, they dyke out on each other and then beat each other up like they're in prison. And then that's all they do. They're like, who burnt the toast? Ah, fuck you. And then they beat. Yeah, it's
more
like
exciting than
real. It's so stupid.
More exciting than anything that happened last season, though. That's for sure.
I guess. And then, I think the best part was before any of this even happened, and one of the twins was telling all the guests about Amber. She's like,
this is what Amber did to me, and I'm going to get Amber. She's going to apologize publicly.
And Rosie's like, all right, here's what you need to do. All right, you need to tell her when she comes in, like, look, you know, we've got a problems, all right? And then, you know, when she says something back to you, then you got to say, yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, thanks, Rosie.
Yeah.
Thanks for all of that life wisdom you're bringing to the party. Why don't you go back to your mom's basement and finish that fucking blanket you've been knitting? All right, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if someone who's been embroiled in, like, a 3-year-long family feud is entitled to talk about, like, conflict resolution.
And then you talk to hers, and then hers is going to talk to yous.
Oh, thanks.
It's the sniper way. It's the sniper way. So then I love how after the fight, when Amber gets all the hair pulled out of her head, which is classic Danielle Staub, then when they're like, Amber starts getting really nasty. She's like, that's why he won't marry you. That's why he won't marry you. Okay, that's why, because you're a monster. But then the guys get into it, because then Jim starts calling out Teresa's boyfriend for putting him in the spot, which he's sort of right to do that for. And then it's a whole thing, and next thing you know, he's going up to Joe Gorga, which is, I can't believe he did this, and he was like, he's like, I work with the same DA that's prosecuting your brother-in-law, you dumb fuck!
Oh my God.
I was like, this guy's isn't even true. In the face.
You know that, right?
Yeah, it's not
the
true.
The DA has made a public statement that they don't know who this fucker is, except that he's a criminal.
Yeah.
My notes on this show, I wrote so much, which means I was really actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
But,
well, Dina, they tried to set Dina up with a guy who was, I don't know, he was relatively handsome. Handsome compared to the other mooks there, but.
Considering he's like a spray tan and waxed or threaded eyebrows, who does that? Straight guys, stop it. Stop doing that. You look like drag queens.
It's definitely Jersey Metro, you know?
Teresa's temper, don't react. Family photos. I've written 3 unpublished books.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Nothing about the cats. How I feel about Bobby. Bobby at Dunkin' Donuts. Scrubs. Not subtle. Rosie Sniper, first responder. Crack his neck. Teresa, first response. Joe's a detective. Party people. SWAT. Dina's flirt.
Teresa didn't know what a SWAT team was. She thought it was a SWAT team. she's so stupid. These are all
is Amber being
idiots.
Played by Maya Rudolph? Doesn't she look just like a Maya Rudolph character?
I want to know how many jars of blush she goes through in an afternoon. I mean, the amount of shit on her cheeks is out of control.
Yeah, I don't know if she's... I don't know. She looks like she's been punched on both sides of the face.
I thought it was cute when their kid was directing the little commercial, though. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I liked it, too. I liked that he was in, like, a little vest. He's, like, a little sweater
vest.
I actually
liked Jim at that moment. I liked Jim telling his son, like, yeah, you gotta, like, speak up, you know. I was like, oh, it's sort of like, I don't know. I kind of feel like they have big plans for their kid's future, you know, which is, I think, why I sort of like Jim and Amber a little bit, because everyone on the show is at a base level of, like, awful, right, and crappiness, but... With these two, I feel like they actually have plans and aspirations for their kids that would be beyond
Blackwater. Oh, whatever. They're
fucking
losers, dude. You're very nice, but they're trash. Okay.
I'm not saying they're not trash. I'm just saying I think they actually see a future for their kids as opposed to, like, the others say they see a future. But, I mean, really, what are Gia and Melania going to be? They're going to go to, like, you know, community college, which is no offense to community college, but, like, they're just going to be hanging around home.
Well, here's how I think of the whole cast of New Jersey, okay? I have a mutt, a mixed dog, right? And my friend, who I love, one of my best friends, has a little beautiful French pit bull. My dog, healthy as a horse. Her dog, broken hips, could probably be dead any second now. Can't breathe. I read an article the other day that those dogs are so inbred that they're stupid, they're falling apart, they die young.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how I feel when I watch Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm like, I get that your culture is brought up to keep it in the family and to, you know, keep your bloodline clean Italian. I get it. Like, you don't really see a lot of mixing going on there. Italians, it's time to mix. All right. You need to bring some smarter genes in or you're going to be like a bulldog. You guys can barely breathe it as it is. Look at Joe. I mean, it's like a perfect parallel. Come on, guys. Get it together. Stop with the inbreeding. Start fucking some black people. Let's get some stronger bones here. Come on, guys.
Oh gosh. Okay. So why don't we move?
I don't care. Bring any other race into it, but you guys need to change it up. It's gross.
Why don't we move to Orange County?
Okay.
So
I don't have a bulldog story about them, but whatever.
It's
we can
okay.
go there.
It's okay. They went to Bali. So let's see, what happened this episode? This was like, you know, Lizzie's starting to show some signs of life by stirring the pot a little bit in her sort of like sad way.
Lizzie. I'm done. I can't with her. She needs to get fired.
It really
now.
Bothered me, you know, it really
my
upset
party.
Me.
No one came to my party, but it hurt my feelings being late about it.
Oh my God! I love that they showed that clip though of all that scene of all that footage we didn't see in the limo on the way to her party in L.A., which is, you know, probably 45 minutes to an hour away at least. Mm-hmm. And she's stuck. Everyone's stuck with her, miserable in the limo, having a fit. And her husband tries to comfort her, and she's like, "Yeah, maybe you can try getting a hard on more than once a week, jerk." And if my husband doesn't throw me a decent party next year, I'm leaving him.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was
it's pretty evil. Like they did that a lot this episode where they sort of like, oh, by the way, here's something we didn't show you. Here's something evil that we didn't tell you about. And like, you know, I have to say, as they were all sharing their sides of the story, as much as I think Tamara's the worst and evil, I feel like Tamara was exonerated. I think Tamara was okay. Like, meaning that like her actions. Lizzie made it sound like, okay, so Tamara didn't call, and then Tamara then the next day was making fun of her. When in fact, she didn't call because Tamara thought she was going to go. And then on top of that, she and Tamara were like already talking and like joking. And so, like, you can't be mad at her then the next day if you're already having like funny text interaction. And then when Tamara called her on that, Lizzie's like, well, you know what? It's not really about the text. It's just that, you know, you're just like rude. It's like, shut up, Lizzie.
Yeah, Lizzie's obviously, she obviously got caught being a big liar pants too, just like the rest of them. I mean, Tamara, look, if you're not going to go, all she was saying was she was sitting alone in the car on her birthday waiting for people, and it was an hour later and you hadn't even called.
Yeah,
so
which
that's
is wrong.
Not, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But then when she's like, but we were texting back and forth and joking that you were showing your vagina and stuff, and then she's trying to make that a big deal, it's like, that's really sad because that's her in that. Is it Danielle or whatever that girl's name is? They're just both they're hangers-on that didn't get fired soon enough. Like, I feel like New York had a good grasp. You remember when they had that awful girl on earlier this season?
Yeah.
And the cast was like, bye, bitch, and basically axed her in one episode.
Yeah.
They have a better grasp because this should have happened to both of those girls. They've got nothing to say. Their fights are stupid. Like, I just want a real fight. You know, I want these women to be like, I want them to have one fucking tea party where someone's like, all right, is Israel getting a raw deal or are they terrorists? Go.
The last,
you know, that's, I want to see that fight.
I can't tell if the most amazing thing ever would be to hear the Orange County women weigh in on Israel, or would that be the worst thing ever? Because it could go both ways.
Well, the perfect thing is it's like a mixture of both always, you know, but it's something else.
Because Shannon would be like, Netanyahu, David, Netanyahu.
She'd be like, David, well, we have to side with the Jews because David's name is David, so obviously.
Star of David.
You know, a lot of this, if those tunnels were just filled with some decent herbs, you know, a lot of this depression and this rocket launching, could be solved in a second.
They need to send Dr. Moon over there. That's all they have to do, David.
They need a few Dr. Moon thumbs up their butt, David. That's it. And the whole Middle East will be solved.
David.
We don't need to be building tunnels. We need to be building them GNCs, David. All right? That'll solve everything.
David.
Oh.
Well, I did love... I mean, there were a lot of, like, stupid shenanigans, like Vicky throwing up in the backseat of that car and, like, screaming on the elephant.
Oh, Vicky.
And the elephant.
It's like, Vicky, we get it. You're wacky, and you're trying really hard. Stop it, please.
Exactly. And they had, like, a dull dinner or whatever. But basically...
Vicky's like, oh, I'm not eating this food. What? It's moose. It's a real moose. Like Rocky and Bullwinkle. I'm not eating Bullwinkle.
That was one of those stupidest things. I'm like, Vicky, we all know you know what moose is. You're not being funny right now. And then, well, I loved how, so after the Lizzie fight, so then Heather, Vicky, and Tamara decided to walk away. And then Tamara was denying, what was it that she was denying? She's like, I never made fun of her dress. I never made fun of her dress. And then Heather's like, well, actually you did. You made fun of her dress to me. And then Tamara gets all pissed. And then the rest of the episode, she's pissed at Heather. She's like, can you believe Heather, you know, saying that I made fun of, da 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 da. Like, she always... Tamara is such a wench, you know?
Classic deflection. Like, let's just start an entire other war so people are watching that now. Let's wag the dog a little bit.
Yeah, but it was really fun, though, to watch Shannon, Lizzie, and Danielle talk shit about Tamara. That was really fun.
Oh, yeah, Lizzie's ready to bring everybody down. And what I really like, not Lizzie, Shannon.
Yeah.
Did I say Lizzie? Shannon's ready to bring everybody down, which I really like that about her, because at this point in filming, I don't believe that the show had started even airing yet. So she doesn't know that she has the whole country on her side yet. She's just kind of assuming that she does.
Yeah, well, because she's self-possessed.
Yeah,
and she's possessed.
And she's also self-confident, you know? She's like, knows that she's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bitch is crazy. Don't get me wrong. And as any housewife does, we'll stick up for her now, and then she'll turn into be an utter horrible
next season,
nightmare.
She'll be terrible next season, but this season she's great. Everyone loves her.
Yeah, but it is funny watching her not give a shit. She'll go up against anybody who comes close. And even Vicky's like, I'm not fucking with her.
Yeah.
You got to respect it because that's not easy. But yeah, so she sits down with Dumb and Dumber, which I love that they showed that clip on the bus of Vicky walking right up to the bus going, oh, God, no one's here. I got to hang out with Dumb and Dumber. As loud as she can, having a fit about it. I love that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, hi, everyone, I'm here. But yeah, so Shannon has a discussion with Dumb and Dumber, and Lizzie's like, well, you need to be careful because she's not your friend. And here's what she said about you. And now we're going to get to watch it go kaboom.
I know. By the way, I love what one of our listeners on Facebook, Edward Mitchum, wrote. He goes, we now know that Bravo spent the entire vacation budget on Real Housewives of Orange County. Sorry, Beverly Hills and Atlanta. You'll be going to Dairy Queen for ice cream this year. So true.
Oh, let me see here. I'm looking. Oh, yes. What is that thing that Aviva was saying about Harper Lee? Paula Jones brought up. I want to punch Aviva for what she said about Harper Lee. Bitch, get your facts straight. I just read an article about this, about how Harper Lee is To Kill a Mockingbird, which I guess I'm just going to say 100 times in this podcast.
Yeah.
How Truman Capote supposedly either heavily edited that or wrote it for her or whatever. And that was, I guess I was reading it because it was brought up on the reunion. I don't know, but
yeah,
it I know was. A lot about that.
Well, I guess, are we going to talk about New York? Want to talk about New York?
I mean,
there wasn't much else to Orange County.
I guess there wasn't. Wait, hold on. Let me look at my OC notes. I did write down, I don't know if we've already talked about this, but for some reason it struck me that Tamara's opening line is, I'm not getting older, I'm getting bolder.
Yes, that's so weird. It also struck me this week, too.
Does and she I was not like, always I was like, no, you're, that? Like, I was like, no, you're getting older.
Me too.
I mean, if anything, you're getting so boldly
funny.
Older.
I had that same reaction this week. I was like, no, bitch, you're getting older.
Yeah,
and you're not getting
older.
You're already
you're
really
getting
bold.
Bolder, more boldly older.
You're getting moldier. You're getting moldier. I'm not getting older. I'm getting moldier.
Oldlier.
Yeah.
And more Vicky's folds. Accountant versus Heather's. Oh. Heather is like super uninteresting, and her assistant girl that she hires is even less interesting. But Vicky is really interesting, and she has that assistant. He's like, oh, you going to Bali?
Yeah, I love that woman. Her name should be Bev. I don't remember what it is. I think it's actually Linda. She's like, oh, well, you know, they don't have the internet over there. Good
yeah,
luck
you're not
going
to be able to do your work. Do you know how many people have died in Bali on scooters lately? I'll be here sniffing the leather wallpaper. Okay, have fun.
I think that they need to give the entertaining one to Heather because Heather is unbearable. And I just want to see that old lady walking around Heather's house. Like,
oh, you're building a new house? Oh, you better watch out with the balcony because kids fall off of those.
That was making me laugh the other day. What else? They all had to wear crowns. Vicky Shrimp Mousse, Barfing Knot, Why Everyone Hates the U.S. Oh, the ladies on the bus. Yeah. Jesus. Talk about stupid Americans.
Where are we? This is long. This is gross. Everything's dirty. It's hot. I need food. Is there air conditioning?
The terrorists need to win.
I know. Let's move on to New York.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, New York, I mean, where do you... Let's talk about Ramona and Luann, shall we?
Sure.
Because this is the moment that Luann's been waiting basically 7 years for, which was for Ramona to finally be the one accused of... Or having to talk and face rumors and allegations and basically facts of Mario cheating on her. Because, as the reunion showed, for, like, years and years and years, Ramona has always needled Luann about the fact that her husband would cheat on her, or would say things that Luann's a cheater, or they have an open marriage. And Luann would always would hate it when Ramona would do that. And so now that Luann had the chance to do it back to her, whew, karma's a bitch indeed.
Yeah, so are all of these ladies. That was really fun. Did Ramona ever answer it? Because actually I was late to the podcast, and that was the last part of the reunion, so I actually didn't get to see that part.
Ramona, no. It was actually really – this is like the first time ever that Andy kind of took a hard line on something. He was like – you know, because he was asking her like basically softball questions about the situation, and she was like – she was totally stonewalling. In fact, he called her Stonewall Jackson, and she was like, all I have to say is that we have a beautiful daughter, and we are happily married, and we're staying married, and that's all I have to say about it. Next question, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And like, and then Andy kept on kneeling. He's like, well, how have your friends been in this situation? She's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore, Andy. I don't want to talk about it. He's like, yeah, but I'm just asking about your friends. I don't want to talk about it, Andy. Andy, okay, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not going to talk about it. I've got a beautiful daughter. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Andy. I'm kind of with Ramona here. Like, fuck you, dude. You know, yeah, like, normally, it's bad enough that you've, like, built an entire empire off of women in pain.
Yeah.
And normally, it's to the point where basically these old bitches are coming on here and beating the crap out of each other and embarrassing women everywhere just so they can sell their fucking wine or whatever other cannoli kit or whatever bullshit product they've come up with to try and keep up with their fucking house payments that they've only got to try and convince you that they're rich so you'll keep them on TV so they can keep abusing people. It's like the circle of abuse and you're the ringleader. And so when he goes off on someone's real pain like that, like, I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't ask about it, but fucking stop needling, dude. She said she's not going to talk about it. It's not like she has to, like, sit up there and grovel to you the whole time, jerk.
You know, normally, yes, you're right. Normally, I would say that. But in the context of Ramona, where Ramona has taken such joy in needling others, I think it's time she actually
I think that if the other housewives kept doing it, then that's different because that's their thing. They're in a mud pit. Right. But when Andy is like the leader of the mud pit and he's getting into the mud because it's not as muddy as he would like it to be, it's like you're showing your true colors, Mary. You need to just sit back down and keep announcing when a commercial break is coming.
He showed his true colors in the Podbuster thing when Sonia was talking to him and he was just like on his cell phone ignoring her, being like, "Yeah, oh wow." And she's like, "Well, you know, my fashions are doing very well in Saint-Tropez and my burlesque. They want to see that in Kathmandu. Yeah, so it's you know, I'm really blowing up, Andy." And he's like, yeah, that's great.
That was the best scene of the whole thing so far. And she's like, Andy, do you know about my burlesque thing? Oh, you know, I mean, it was more of a skit. Maybe we should just call it a skit from now on. He's like, it was hilarious.
He's like, yeah, it was hilarious.
Like, did you see me on Saturday Night Live with the mango? Did you see me with the mango? And he's like, It's like, oh, it was so good, Andy. Everybody loved it.
And Andy, this is new. They've actually brought me into NASA. I'm actually going to be going on a spaceship this week. Yeah, it's going to be great.
They brought me into NASA because I'm actually a living black hole. Do you know how many 23-year-olds are missing since they've seen me, Andy? I've just sucked them out and spit them out the back end, Andy.
You know, they actually used my toaster oven to communicate with different galaxies, yeah. And they actually found a little raccoon astronaut, and the two of us are going to go into space, and we're going to meet up with a tree and a big, big muscle guy, and we're going to save the galaxy. Yeah.
I'm going to make that guy from Parks and Rec lose a lot of weight to hang out with me, Andy.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you haven't heard about it because there are commercials for it all over the TV about this. You know, it's like everyone's talking about it. Everyone wants to see, you know, us be the Guardians of the Galaxy because that's what we're doing, you know.
I'm going to have this homeless Irish girl that I know in Ireland to tweet about it for me.
Oh, my God. No, that was the best. That was the best part. When she said that she had a girl in Ireland who knows about SEO who just lost her home tweeting for her. You realize, you know, like, I'm sure you do too. I get a lot of spam emails that's like, SEO, we'll improve your SEO. We know how to do it. She clearly got one and was like, oh, I got to get to the bottom of this. There was one time, like 12 years ago, again, still sort of the early ages of like modern email, where I remember once like hanging out with my friend at my friend's pool, my friend Lauren. Lauren, hi, Lauren. I hope you're listening to this part. And Lauren's mom, it was her stepmother. Ugh, I can't believe I said her mom. Lauren's stepmother had a friend named like Myra or something like that. She was like this lady who talked like this. And she got like one spam email that was said something like improve the size of your penis. And she goes, so I wrote an email to them and I said, don't you ever email me ever again. And I said, if you do, I'm calling the attorney general. I'm like, you know, that's not how spam works, right? But that's what I can imagine Sonia doing, except the reverse, being like, oh, an Irish SEO leader.
How do I subscribe to this? How do I subscribe to more emails like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that whole fight was hilarious because it was about how Sonya isn't nice enough to Luann, and it makes Luann insecure about their friendship. And Luann's like, darling, when I was on the Home Shopping Network, I emailed all of you to tweet for me in support, and everybody did it but you. And she's like, well, sorry, but I don't read my emails. I have a girl in Ireland who's homeless who knows SEO.
I'm like, what? It's like the delusions and the stories are get weirder and weirder and weirder.
It actually made stupid Luann, what she was saying, sound reasonable. Like,
yeah.
Darling, why didn't you tweet about my home shopping?
Luann came out so on top. I mean, the way she was just going after Ramona in this, like, passive-aggressive, subtle way. Like, no, well, you know, it's you know, I'm not, you know, I'm just merely saying to Ramona how, like, you know, how unpleasant it is to have someone cheat on you. And Ramona's like, enough! I don't want to talk about this anymore, Andy. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my God. Another big thing we went over was Ramona in the Birkin.
Yeah. She's like, here are the places, okay? Here are the places. The Hamptons, New York City, Beverly Hills, and Aspen. It's like, those are the places that you go to, okay? Nowhere else, okay? Well, you don't go to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, who does that?
Go to Malibu.
Yeah, go to the Bow. More relaxed.
Yeah, what about La Jolla? How about La Jolla? Have you thought about that, Ramona?
Oh, my God. Love La Jolla.
Yeah, what about Carmel? What about Marin County? Ohio,
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara. Okay, Ramona, those are the places.
Yeah, those are the places. You go to relax. I mean, if you want to go, like, you know, lick each other's asses, you go to the Hamptons. Fuck the Hamptons.
You know who goes to
Beverly
Hills?
They have in the Hamptons? Stony beaches. Who wants to be on the beach in the Hamptons? It's rocks. It's fucking rocks.
Actually,
dude.
You know what? Luann had one of the best things of the night when Ramona was talking about, like, the woods, and it brought back a lot of memories for me, okay? And then Luann's like, well, they've got woods in the Hamptons, too. Just a quiet little zing right there. By the way, you know who goes to Beverly Hills? It's like Reza and Asa and the Shahs of Sunset, if you get my drift. And I was so excited that I walked into a Shahs of Sunset shoot last week. You would have known that if you were fans of our Facebook page, because I took a picture of their sign that said, you're in a shoot for Shahs of Sunset. But I didn't stick around long enough. I saw Reza and I was like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I can barely watch them when they're on my TV. I don't need them in real life. I saw, like I told you, I passed MJ on my scooter, and she's wearing these, like, legging things, like these really tight legging things that were neon and black in a chevron pattern. And I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think after this long of being on TV, somebody would have just said something to you. Like, how many gay people do you know? I mean, come on!
I know. It's just... Also, wait, why don't we talk about Aviva for a second? So Bookgate reared its ugly head on this episode. And Aviva is just so awful. Carol actually explained her side in a very articulate way, in a very smart way. She talked about, like, ghostwriters and how, you know, it's industry standard, whatever. But for her, it's more of an affront because she's an actual writer. She makes her livelihood that way. Aviva still denied that she had a ghostwriter and then did the whole It Takes a Village thing. And then she starts acting so obnoxious to Carol. She's like, weird? That's the only word you can use? Weird? I mean, use your words, writer girl. Weird? Weird? What sort of word is that? Oh, I wanted to smack that leg right off her.
Yeah, like, I'm going to leg you, bitch. I'm going to double peg you, bitch. Yeah, she was pretty tricky about how she worded it. She basically said... she basically said, no, I don't have a ghostwriter. I wrote a draft and then handed it over to my team, which means she put a bunch of words down and then they made it sensical.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, she had a ghostwriter, basically. She wrote part of it and then they made it good. You know, like good editing, which makes sense. It's just such a, to me, it's just kind of a stupid fight. Like, it went on too long. And Carol, like, I'm totally on Carol's side. I don't think she... had a ghost. I mean, I don't care if she had a ghost. I would never know because I'm never reading that shit. But
well, the other thing is that, like, for Aviva, she says how Carol's, like, not, like, such an important writer. Like, who cares about Carol as a writer? I'm like, you know, you realize you're the same woman who, in the beginning of last season, talked about how, like, excellent the book was and how much it moved you, how inspirational it was, and how she's such a wonderful writer. So either you're a liar or you're totally insulting to Carol. It was one of those things.
It was a September Tuesday at 5 p.m. As I waited on that park bench, my vagina trembled. he was coming soon. What would he look like? Would he look like a new man or a man from my past? Would he look like that man who once got on a plane whose name I won't mention? Or will he be someone completely new? And why does my vagina feel like there's an earthquake going on under this park bench? The Widow's Guide to Dating by Carol Redswell. Is this a kitchen or a place he's going to screw me for the first time where there's an office printer?
Oh gosh, it was like a crazy reunion. I didn't think it was like anything too amazing though, but it was
you know. No, because I mean, again, they're all just so practiced and prepared, they just start yelling and yapping at each other. It's like passing a dog kennel.
It really
it's like
is
like when Fred Flintstone comes home and Dina's like
I know.
What else happened? I didn't write any notes because I watched it literally just right now before.
I mean, there was talk about how Luann going off in the cab with Harry, but then Luann's like, yeah, but I was thinking it was Harry and Heather and like someone else. Like it was like four people in the cab. It wasn't like Luann.
Did you read that post that Carol made, the blog that Carol made after that episode? Oh my God, it was so funny.
I did, yeah.
Carol, you know that Carol's a good writer if you go to Bravo TV and read her blogs, because that bitch is hilarious. She rips everybody a new one in them, and they're so funny. And that one, she was talking about how crazy Sonia is because none of that happened. Sonia never ran after a cab. She didn't hurt her ankle running after any cab. It was not a surprise to her that her friend left. She knew that he didn't go home with Luann. Like, that was just all a bunch of made-up crap. But Heather says it in the funniest fucking way. And you got to love Sonia for never backing down anything.
No, because she's crazy. Well, I mean, she can't afford to back down because, you know, she's got to keep her SEO numbers up as per her Irish homeless girl's advice.
Oh, my God. She is so funny.
She is crazy. Crazy.
They're interns. You know how many homeless people I have helped? How many children?
Oh, my God. I like that she goes, well, they're interns that, you know, they get college credit, you know, because some girls want to learn about fashion. They're like, you know, sometimes, you know, it depends on what they're learning in school. So if they're learning, on the Mac, then that's what we focus on in the semester. how to learn how to do Mac. Then she's like, and then after that, they become volunteers.
Yeah, because learning how to schedule on a Mac, I mean, that's an entire semester on its own.
So she's officially a charity case because she now has volunteers.
Just like I'm an official not-for-profit organization.
Yeah.
What's up with that gay guy who's worked for her for 3 years for free? Like, he must get so much dick.
He must.
Because you know that's like currency in a gay bar, working for a housewife.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm like, oh, I know. I'm like, I just talk about housewives. You never know what's gonna happen. Yeah, I don't know why anyone would like hang around that creepy old townhouse. You know, she's lost her mind. Crazy. I mean, you remember that the job posting or the thing the email I read like a few months ago about like someone who applied to work for Sonia and was like I'm sorry, it wasn't a job posting. It was just a description of the experience and how crazy it was. I mean,
ugh. Oh my God, I'm sure. Could you imagine working for Sonia?
I should if she were here, I would apply to be her intern, and I would see how it goes.
So, how many more episodes of this do we have?
One more, I think.
So one more of this, and then we've got Jersey Belle. Are they going to be showing Real Housewives of Melbourne on Bravo regularly?
Yeah, Sundays at like noon.
Okay, and then what other new shows are coming out? Below Deck. Are they having another Housewives show right now?
No. So I'm going to watch one episode of Jersey Belle, and if I like it, then I will continue.
Okay, I'll watch it too. I mean, maybe we have to watch two because next week it'll be two will have already been out.
I'm sure the story will be. It'll be so hard to keep up with the story.
I know. The Jersey Belle story. Really hard.
It's like she moves down to the south and she says a lot of vulgar things, and other girls are like, "What?" And she's like, "Whatever. I'm from Jersey, and now I'm in Alabama."
So yeah, remember that show about the Jersey lawyer? It was that same thing. It was like Legally Blonde, but she was a lawyer from Jersey. And everyone's like, we can't take you seriously in this law firm. And she's like, why? Just because I'm hot and I'm from Jersey? And they're like, yeah. But then it turns out she's a real smart cookie. Yeah, I've seen all that shit. All right. Everybody stop it. stop with this Jersey fish out of water crap. It's bad enough having to deal with Jersey people in Jersey.
Yeah. I'm also not going to watch the Singles Project. I don't even know what it is. I don't understand what it is, and I don't want to know.
That starts today, right? No way.
Beats me. I'm not paying attention.
It starts next week. I just saw a bunch of tweets about it.
All right. Well, why don't we wrap this up? Ronnie, thank you again for
being such a wonderful co-host. Thank you for being a great co-host and a great friend.
Aw.
As well.
Thanks.
Even though you like Ramona more than me.
Well, you know, it goes back and forth. So, anyway, everyone, please like this Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Oh, be sure to subscribe to us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you want to find us. Subscribe. Follow us on social media. I'm at BsideBlog, and Ronnie's at either Trash Talk TV or Trash Tweet TV or at Ronnie Karam. Just do a search and go to TrashTalkTV.com. You can read his TV coverage, see his Big Brother in 2 minutes videos, which are super funny. Oh, and I'm doing some Big Brother coverage too, so you can check that out too. And everyone, I just hope everyone has a wonderful and safe week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.